This week on Texas Scorecard Radio, I've got a special program for you. Empower Texans CEO Michael Quinn Sullivan joins me to discuss the release of the audio of his meeting with Texas House Speaker Dennis Bonin, in which Bonin made an unethical backroom offer. We'll have clips of the audio of the meeting and commentary on them. This is one you don't want to miss. Stay tuned. Welcome to this week's episode of Texas Scorecard Radio. I'm your host, Tony McDonald, coming to you from the 1836 Studios in Austin, Texas. You can follow me on social media if you'd like at TweetTonyMac. Find us on the web at www.texasscorecard.com. And of course, this is not just a radio show. Also goes out as a podcast. If you'd like to subscribe to the program, you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, all your favorite podcasting platforms. I'm joined this week with a very special episode. I've got Michael Quinn Sullivan, Empower Texans CEO, here. Michael, we have talked the story of the summer, and it's been odd. It's a story that involves us, so it's kind of challenging to talk about. But the story of the quid pro quo offer made to you by Texas House Speaker Dennis Bonin. We've been talking about this, covering it over the last few months, reactions to your announcement that this took place, and then coverage of whether our legislators will do anything about it. And just this week, you making the decision to go ahead and release the audio that you recorded of the meeting that took place. Why are you deciding to release it?
Well, you know, there were several things at play in the decision to release the audio. You know, I stand by, even today, now, you know, several days after the public release, I still have my qualms about it being released for all the reasons I've mentioned over the months, of some concerns about some things said about people in there by the speaker, as well as some
kind of
harm.
There's the locker room talk.
Yeah, kind of the
element.
Locker room talk, yeah. Some, you know, undermining of the GOP. Everyone's now heard Dennis Bonin talking about the speaker being a drag on the Republican ticket.
Oh, the president.
The president being a drag on the Republican ticket, hearing the speaker say those words, those kind of things that just bothered me. I went in there recording it not as a journalist, but as the CEO of a company, having seen how Dennis Bonin has very little compunction about lying about people. We saw that during the legislative session. And I decided I need to protect myself, my family, my staff, the organization itself from his lies. So, over the course of the last month or two, various statewide elected officials, the governor, lieutenant governor, the chairman of the Republican Party saying, oh, release it, despite having not listened to it.
Yeah, they had an opportunity to come listen to it and make an informed decision on that. Nonetheless, they're out there saying, hey, this needs to be made public.
So we, you know, made the decision to release it, but to release it, when something could be done about it, you know, to minimize the salaciousness and increase the opportunity for people to do something with it. This weekend is the Republican House Caucus Retreat, giving them an opportunity to address this.
This is a physical meeting of all of the Republican members who, basically elected Dennis Bonin as their speaker.
Yeah, so give them a chance to talk about it. Give them the opportunity to address this problem. You have him not only doing the very unethical thing of a quid pro quo with me, you have him breaking House caucus rules, breaking his own rules, as a matter of fact.
Breaking his own standards.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to play some clips of this audio throughout the show, but I wanted to kind of set the table for people. I know folks have generally been kind of following along. If they're listening to the program, they probably caught our earlier interview earlier in the summer about what took place. But walk me through it. So you're invited to this meeting by the speaker for what?
So in May, the Speaker of the House and I, literally I think the day after the legislative session ended, we see each other just by happenstance at the Hobby Airport. The Speaker chats a little bit of a tongue lashing about, we're not being supportive enough, a little bit of, oh gosh, we all have to get along. But there's some other things he said that just made me a little bit nervous, kind of his tone and attitude. He and I have known each other a long time, known each other since the mid-90s. So it wasn't that unusual that if we saw each other at the airport, we'd say hello, you know. But his tone was such. And so when he was going to catch his flight, me catch mine, and he just said, hey, why don't you text me when you get back from your summer trip and let's get together. Well, okay, great. Happy to do so.
Yeah, so you reached out to him, set up this meeting, and of course, folks can go to texasscorecard.com where the entire audio, is 64 minutes of the meeting, it can be played. They can listen to each second of it. So you start off, and there's a conversation about your trip to Normandy for the 75th anniversary of the D-Day invasion. But you do that, and then pretty quickly, Speaker Bonin gets down to making this offer about the media credentials. Let's listen to that clip.
Hey, let me tell you what I'll do for you. So, real quick, you need to hear what I want to do.
Okay. I don't need you to hear that.
Well, I know you did. You did. If we can make this work, I'll put your guys on the floor next session.
All right, Michael, so what was your reaction when that offer was made?
Well, I was a little stunned. Again, as people can tell, I walked in there recording, not being sure what was going to happen at the meeting. And so I was a little stunned. You know, here he is saying, let me tell you what I can do for you. And I wanted to be real clear, Dennis, I don't need you to do anything. He was insistent, which raised, even at the in real time, raised a lot of questions in my head of, gosh, this is kind of his go-to meeting, isn't it? You know, let me tell you what I'll do for you if you do something for me.
Yeah, totally bizarre. And in the context, of course, we've had this litigation going about the media credentials issue. You know, this is something that's in court at the time that the meeting's taking place.
In federal court, no less, and it was on appeal. You know, he knew, or at least should have known, it was still an active case. It is against one of his chairmen, is the named person in the federal lawsuit. But regardless, he offered to take an official action, i.e., media. It's not like he said, hey, I'll do a political fundraiser for you if you do something political for me. Well, that's equal kind of stuff, But here he's saying, I'll take an official government action. I will cause, government, endorsement or whatever you would call it.
Government permits.
Yeah, government
basically.
In exchange for you doing something underhanded and kind of behind the scenes politically for me.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about that, because what he says, if we can make this work. And so the question then is, what does make this work mean? What is it that he was asking you to do? I think let's go to our second clip.
Between you and I, he has some folks, because the Speaker of the House shouldn't tell you some folks go pop, but he has some folks if you want to go pop. They're going to have to find their own money. I may give them a pittance here and there, but I ain't going to do it just drastically. If Bill Stevenson is finding himself in a healthy primary, he's not getting $150,000 out of me. And what does that mean? Think about that for a minute.
Yeah. Well,
have to find their own funding.
Yeah, so
they're in a pretty tough spot.
So he was asking you to target his political opponents.
Yeah, the phrase used, pop his opponents. And remember, this meeting happened 2.5-3 weeks after he got all this praise and adulation from the statewide media because he came out loudly and said he would punish any incumbent, regardless of party, who went and campaigned against another incumbent, regardless of party, during the 2020 election cycle. Kind of very much we're going to maintain the status quo. If you're a Republican and you're going up against a Democrat in the general election, I'm going to punish you, is what Speaker Bonin said to the media.
A lot
of praise for this. Meanwhile, he and Dustin Burrows, the former GOP caucus caucus chairman who is sitting there in the room, the one who Bonin is referring to, talking about who has a list to pop.
He's the guy with the list.
He's the guy with the list of Republicans to pop. Now, that's interesting because Dustin Burroughs pushed through a rule in the House Republican caucus that would strip members of the caucus of their standing in the caucus if they went after other incumbents.
So basically kick them out of being Republicans in the House. You're not going to be able to caucus with the Republicans if you campaign against any other Republican. And then that's precisely what the entire meeting, this has been all the public statement that's been going on, and this is precisely what's actually taking place and being requested in this meeting.
It's being requested, and in fact, I bring up to Bonin, and I said to Bonin, well, wait a second, you're out there telling people don't engage in this behavior, and he said, look, that's just what I'm saying publicly. This is so that I get to pick, Bonin said, where Bonin gets to be the arbiter of who broke the rules and who didn't. It wasn't about, maintaining status quo in the House. It wasn't about some sense of, congeniality among this chamber. It wasn't, any of those kind of things. It was purely a power play on his part to be able to, reward friends and hurt enemies, which is, again, the exact opposite of what his public stance was.
Well, and let's talk a little bit about this. So, he mentions there, I'm not going to do what Joe Strauss did, or something like that. This is something that we've seen in the past where the Speaker, because of their position of power and authority in the House, able to raise a tremendous amount of money, millions of dollars from special interests, from lobbyists. They pool that money and then they kind of dole that money out to lower level members across the chamber. And so I guess my understanding is he's saying, look, I'm not going to help out this Stevenson guy, for instance. I'm just not going to help him. And if he gets a challenger, I'm hoping he gets a challenger because I'm not going to help him. I'm going to give him a pittance, whatever that means. Tell us a little more about kind of how that works.
Yeah, so again, this is one of those moments where I'm thinking, do you not hear yourself? Because these are all the things that publicly, or at least semi-publicly, you said you weren't going to be doing as Speaker of the House. When the Republicans decided in December of 2018 to unanimously replace Strauss with him as the Speaker, he made it very clear that he was going to be a different kind of Speaker, that he wasn't going to play these games. Yet here he is playing these games of picking winners and losers, just doing it his way rather than Strauss's way, I guess.
Now, it's interesting. He's kind of pointing the blame on the failure of the session on the actions of these basically 10 Republican members who just don't want to help. He talks about that kind of earlier in the conversation. And then throughout, the whole theme is, hey, you should be targeting these guys. We're going to be able to pass better bills. We're going to be able to limit taxpayer-funded lobbying, do those things if we're able to get rid of these guys. But at the same time, publicly, he isn't saying, oh, well, there's a problem. There's these 10 guys. He could have been saying to the public, this is the truth, right? These 10 guys are the problem. He doesn't say that.
He would have truly been a different kind of speaker. He truly would have been, dare I say, a hero of the grassroots and of conservatives. If everything he said to me in private with this quid pro quo trapping and everything else, if he had said all of that from the steps of the Capitol, blaming these 10 guys for gumming up the works, we'd have all applauded. The grassroots would have applauded.
Right.
Instead, publicly, Dennis Bonin is out there with the governor and the lieutenant governor calling it a Super Bowl session, the best conservative session in the history of mankind.
Couldn't have possibly been better. Therefore, there's not a problem with these 10 guys.
Right.
Because there's no problem because they've done everything they want to do. Now switching gears a little bit, and let's get to these next couple of clips. Very interesting that after you announce that you recorded the meeting and that this recording exists out there, you quickly see this pivot, or before you announce you recorded it, but after you announce that the meeting had taken place, you see this pivot and they say, oh, well, there was no list. We didn't provide a list. I haven't been this hypocrite that I'm, alleged to be. That's all a lie. And you see these repeated denials that there was any kind of a list. And so let's listen to these clips, a couple of clips here. First one up, let's do clip number 3.
And I've got a lady running this time.
Yeah.
You won't fund her?
more than likely we would not.
And I hope you won't fund, I hope you won't fund about 90% of any others that show up in a Republican primary this time. And he'll show you the list of who we hope someone will show up, and we hope you will fund.
Okay, that's fair.
Does that make sense?
So he calls it a list. Yeah. He'll show you the list.
He'll show you the list, yeah. And you know, and it's funny, both he and Burroughs were out there loudly, no list, no list, no list. Well, that's what you called it.
That's
what
they
called it. If you'd called it a pink unicorn, I would have called it a pink unicorn. Yeah. You called it the list.
Let's go to this other, there's a second clip here where they talk about the list, and here they start to name the names.
That's my point. Now, I can't promise you
that. No, I understand. You don't get to control those people.
I'm not.
Yeah.
Because guess what? Travis Carden, Phil Stevenson, and I don't want to get in front of
you. I'm not upset.
He can. I'm that much closer to passing taxpayer for the law.
So again, he's calling it the list and saying, hey, I don't want to go down the list, but he can.
Right. I mean, remember, the list that doesn't exist, this is where you see kind of Bonin's temperament come through. He's just so, driven to, to jump out there, not overly disciplined. You know, he brought Dustin Burroughs, like I call him the hapless Dustin Burroughs, into this meeting to read the list, and then he's so excited to start talking to him, he starts naming off names from the list.
Yeah. Specifically these guys, so Stevenson, who we heard in the clip earlier, is singled out. This is a state representative in a neighboring district. Clardy, who at one point is called the ringleader of opposition. Right. So these are his political opponents that he's circling in on.
It's his political opponents. I think a lot of Republicans in the House, what they should be thinking about, where they are or not is another question. They should be wondering, okay, if Dennis Bonin is sitting down in his office giving me this list of people, who I think Bonin and Burroughs probably thought, Sullivan and Empower Texans doesn't like these guys, and we can get them to take care of these guys. Well, every other member of the Republican caucus needs to wonder, was I given, was some other group given the go-ahead to go after me? In similar fashion.
What other kind of lists?
What other lists exist out there?
In other settings. Well, we'll actually go through that list. Let's do that clip here in a moment. But before we do that, let's hear a little bit about the Fiscal Responsibility Index.
Hi, this is Kerry Cheshire with Texans for Fiscal Responsibility. Your state lawmaker probably campaigned as a conservative, as someone who would go to Austin to cut spending and limit government. But did he keep that promise? At index.empowertexans.com, you can see how your lawmaker voted on the major issues of the legislative session. Things like property tax relief, the state budget, and regulatory reform. You can also view his score on the Fiscal Responsibility Index and decide if he needs a pat on the back, a wag of the finger, or perhaps a permanent vacation from public service. The Fiscal Responsibility Index is the premier tool for taxpayers to hold their lawmakers accountable. Check us out today at index.empowertexans.com.
Texas Scorecard Radio is a project of Empower Texans. At texasscorecard.com or empowertexans.com, you can find more news and daily updates from all around the Lone Star State. You can also find updates from Empower Texans and Texas Scorecard on Facebook and Twitter, and follow Empower Texans on Instagram. Texas Scorecard's News Digest goes out weekly via email and monthly in print. Subscribe online and find more information at empowertexans.com. Someone's always keeping score. We think it ought to be the taxpayers.
All right, now that we're back, let's talk a little bit about this. So eventually in the meeting, late in the meeting, of course, people can go and listen to the entire meeting up at texasscorecard.com. Speaker Bonin leaves the meeting, and you have Burroughs, the GOP caucus chair, sitting there giving you the names to constitute this list. And so we have this clip where you read back the list of names, and he's insistent about it, again, being a list. Let's hear it.
So you'd say Allison Ashby, Bales, Bell, Keith Bell, CA.
Leave him alone. He's just a dumb freshman.
Okay. Clardy, Darby, Cassell, Lambert, Rainey, Stevenson.
Is Parker on that list?
No, I didn't intend to think about Parker.
I put Parker on that list.
So you're there, you're actually writing down, as he's giving you names to write down, you're writing down this list of the names that he's giving you. What are you thinking? What is, who are the people that are on this list? For people who don't know all of the characters in the Texas legislature, who are these people?
Sometimes including me, quite frankly, when you listen to the 64 minutes, you realize there are a lot of these cats. I don't have a clue who these names are. They come and go. But you know, when you get to the list, the names that that were provided by Representative Burroughs, you know, a lot of them are folks who Empower Texans has not supported, who we don't support, guys who, you know, we might otherwise be inclined, if given, you know, the opportunity with time and money and other things, to go after these guys.
Well, and if, you know, speaking of the index, you know, we have the ad for the index there, index.empowertexans.com. These are people who typically, largely, have performed very poorly on the index, meaning they voted against taxpayers.
Except, you know, there at the end, you know, you hear Burroughs insistent, add Tan Parker to the list. Well, look, Tan Parker's kind of up and down various points, you know, where he is on the index. But his, what I realized both in real time and then obviously in the intervening weeks and months, that this was less a list about taxpayer-funded lobbying, because a whole lot of people got excuses. There were 25-plus people who were on the wrong side of that issue, and these are only 10. What these 10 people have in common is that these are people who Bonin and Burroughs perceive as threats to their power structure, you know, rightly or wrongly, at least from our end of things, right? And so that, you know, the inclusion of Parker on there is interesting. Parker, who was the GOP caucus chairman.
Right before Burroughs.
Yeah, previous to Burroughs. You know, so, you know, someone who has a lot of relationships in the House, someone who could, you know, conceivably, you know, manage a, you know, a push against either Burroughs or Bonin in the future. So this was in many ways an enemies list for someone like me. But again, the inclusion of Parker was interesting to me.
Yeah, very, very interesting. So basically, you have this quid, we start off with the quid pro quo offer, and then repeatedly going, hey, this is what I want you to do. I want you to target these certain political figures. And you have Burroughs kind of going in, okay, here, we're going to give you this list of people to go through. To wrap it all up, it's basically trying to sell you on taking actions, saying, hey, we're going to be able to do all these great things if you do this stuff, you know, for me. Don't blame me. Blame these guys. That's kind of the point.
Well, look, and this was, you know, again, the public stance. This is a great session, a wonderful session, a Super Bowl session. Conservative win after conservative win was the way they. Now the grassroots don't believe it. Everyone's been talking about it being, yeah, a purple
everybody
session.
Knows that they didn't pass.
But they've been selling it publicly that way. Plus, looking ahead to 2020, you know, big Democrat wave, you know, possibly coming. And, you know, the message has been uniform, don't do things in the primary. Let's all sing kumbaya as good Republicans, and let's fight the Democrats. But yet here's the speaker and the GOP caucus chairman giving me the green light. Hey, go after these Republicans. These are guys, if you want to go after some Republicans, go after our
Let's hear one more clip where Speaker Bonin really articulates this, that it was about going out and being involved in the primaries.
And let's go after these Republicans that, and I'm not kidding, when it comes to 2020, if we're successful and we gain maybe one or two or three Republican seats, we beat some of these liberal pieces of that took people out, and we maybe flip a couple of these primaries, better ours, kick my ass if we're not doing a better job.
So he says it. Let's go after these Republicans.
Yeah, and you know, there's a very important thing he says at the end that's easy to gloss over when he says we could do a better job. You know, kick my backside if we're not doing a better job. Well, how could you, after a Super Bowl session, could you possibly be doing a better job?
That's
the tacit acknowledgement that the session really sucked.
Yeah.
This is a bad session for conservatives.
This is the interesting thing. And I think, you know, you can't do it. You know, we go through and we do different clips here to show people kind of, here's some major highlights of this meeting. But if you go to TexasScorecard.com, you listen to the full 64-minute meeting, and you have the whole clip, the whole audio there. as you go through it, I'm constantly amazed at how much the language and the conversation is consistent with the worldview that we are reporting accurately through Texas Scorecard, and that is totally topsy-turvy from what the politicians are saying is happening.
Yeah, and look, and I think that's the a couple of friends who have listened to the audio, as well as a couple of folks who aren't exactly friends but have listened to the audio. What they have said is, you know, this kind of proves the worst things that we assume about what politicians do behind closed doors, and I think that is sadly true. That, you know, here is Bonin behaving behind closed doors, the scheming, the self-centeredness, the power consolidation, you know, the thing curiously absent from Speaker Bonin and from Chairman Burrows during the 64 minutes was any real concern about, you know, how are Texans being benefited. In fact, at one point, you have Burrows saying, "Oh well, you know, the only reason the people are upset about things is because, you know, Texas Right to Life and Empower Texans and the conservative groups are out telling them to be, you know, you're just gaslighting, implying that Texas voters are stupid, implying that people aren't paying attention to what's going on, that they don't have the ability to form opinions themselves based on facts, and that." So it's no surprise the entire tone of this
meeting
is about controlling things.
At the same time, they're saying that, oh man, these guys are just, they're being told to be upset. That's why they're upset. But then at the same time, they're still saying, hey, you know, if we can get these Republicans replaced who are causing the problems, if you get involved in the primary and get rid of these guys who are, you know, holding up the works, you know, kick my backside if we don't do a better job next session. You know, and also the repeated protests that you see saying, oh, it's a totally, we're totally different than, you know, former Speaker Joe Strauss, and who was, he was more liberal. Well, they always denied that whenever he was in, but now they'll say, okay, you know, privately.
Now it's convenient.
Privately and convenient. Oh, well, we're much better, but we really just got to blame these other guys. And so let's go get involved in primaries. These are all consistent with things that I think we would say very publicly. Yes, people should be involved in primaries. Yes, the November elections do matter. Of course, you know, you have to be involved in both, and the outcomes, the legislative outcomes, are a product of that involvement in campaigns and elections.
Absolutely right.
Yeah. So what is the actions that that people can be taking? I mean, obviously, this audio is now out there. People have listened to a bit of it here. They can listen to more at TexasScorecard.com. But once they listen to it, what can they be doing? Are there any actions that folks can be taking to address this problem?
Well, you know, look, the thing that we should always most demand out of our elected officials is honor and integrity. That first. If you start, I don't care how much they say they agree with you on issues or on politics or on legislation, without honor, without integrity, you're really kind of, you know, tossed into the sea with, you know, whipping winds and everything else, that, you know, you're not going to last long. And I think that first and foremost, we should demand of our state representatives that they seek greater levels of honor and integrity among their leadership. They need to have a very serious, need to be having very serious conversations with each other and with those who they would place in this third highest ranking constitutional office. The Speaker of the House is the number three position in the state constitution.
And these guys are meeting, you know, now, basically, getting together and meeting and have an opportunity where they can take actions or decide to take actions to clean up their own mess.
And look, you know, I've spoken to a couple members of the Texas House over the past couple of days who have said, we were duped. You know, we thought that, you know, well, you were willingly duped, is what I've tried to lovingly say to them.
Sure.
And I think that's where, again, what we have to demand of our specific state representatives is they don't let themselves get duped again, that they need to ask more questions and to be more engaged and involved.
And that means that citizens need to be talking to their elected officials, asking them what they're planning to do. What's the plan? What's the plan to get a better outcome in the future? Thanks for joining me, Michael. Thank you for shedding some light on this, and I appreciate you coming on and doing it.
Thanks, Tony. Appreciate your time.
Texas Texas Scorecard Radio is brought to you each week as a public service from the Empower Texans Foundation and in partnership with the Lincoln Institute and this station. You can download podcasts from each program and learn more at empowertexans.com.